the sick outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hey, John, how are you? John C. Dvorak, you there? Testing, 1, 2, 3.
You sound different.
What is that? You sound like it's a Martian.
I do?
Yes.
Yeah. It's sometimes a machine boots funny. Whenever this weird...
Whatever's going on is very, very funny.
It is. Everyone says it's funny. Hello, everybody.
You're killing me. Killing me. You need to change something.
No, I have to reboot, so you have to get it. Like, it takes me about 90 seconds to do
All right, well, y'all will just be waiting here, right, waiting for you.
All I can do is thing with this voice.
I got to record this so you can hear it. It's ridiculous.
Well, okay, let me just say a few things. How you doing, Andrew? Yeah, you're cracking up.
All right, restart. We'll be here waiting. We'll be here waiting as I cough and gut up. Let's see what we get now. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
What is that? It. What is the deal?
It happens on the No Agenda show about once every couple of months. Mm. It has something to do with the NUC computer. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's not reproducible, so I have no idea. Oh, 777.
Yes. 21. Lucky day. Lucky number. Lucky show. Okay. Okay, this, where am I here? This
goes there. I'm sorry. I have to get back on the stick with that Thanksgiving note.
Yes. I gave you some good ideas. Work with it.
Yeah, I definitely can pull it together.
Yep. All right. Let me just get us set up here for tonight. That is definitely not right. And yes, yours truly did fly today from New York to Florida.
You made it.
I did. It was a little rough. What is happening here? What is going on? There we go. Okay. One, two, three. This one. This one. Check, 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 check. 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 There we go. That's working now. Okay, save this. Okay, I am ready to go when you are.
Anytime.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's 11:11 and show 777. Yep. What more could you ask for, people? Time to donate to the show for the good luck of it.
There is a lot of good luck in there. That's the, you got old ones, you got sevens. There's some kind of a lucky blackjack hand or something, or craps. It's got craps. It's craps. Yo, 11 and sevens.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Set, well, if you throw three sevens in a row, that's a winner. And 11's at fourth, it's a parlay.
And a horn high yo. You go throw an 11, it's a crap. And you get the 11, you get the, I think it's 15 to 1 or something like that. I think the 11.
I don't know. No. You get the wrong game there. I mean, if you call 11, I guess it would be.
You could call a horn high yo. Which is a, horn, it's a which or you is can bet a bet. You can bet, yeah. You get horn bet. You can bet the C. Yeah,
I never bet the horn bet.
Yeah, it's a stupid bet.
It's considered the worst bet on the table.
It's only when you're drinking a lot. It's like, yeah, horn high yo for 25. You know, you just toss it in there. Like, yeah, let me show everybody on the table. Me, 25 on the horn high yo, and let me get 25 on all the hards, please, all around. You know, it's like, yeah, definitely when they've been drinking too much.
True, but you. That's why they give you free booze, just for those bets.
Yeah. All right, listen, on the warm-up side, we got a new close to the pin for the iBit, which is the best we can get to the Bitcoin trust, Bitcoin numbers. So make sure to, this is the last one of the year.
This is going to be a tough one, too, because the Bitcoin goes everywhere. You don't know what's going on there.
So this one is going to determine.
It's not like they have earnings or anything.
No, right, yeah. We got earnings for Bitcoin coming out this week. Right, we got a new CEO at Bitcoin that's coming in, right? You don't have any of that stuff. Sales at Bitcoin were really up this month, and we're looking at the consumer retail numbers. So anyway, this is the last one for 2025, after which you or whoever wins this one will be put into the Close to the Pin Cup for the end of the year tournament. I can't believe it's the end of the year already, by the way. I feel like it's honestly like February. It's a zip by this year. Then you'll be that we have those people who won all of the various close to the pin this year, as well as the winner from last year, is going to be included in the close to the pin cup for 2025. I don't know where this came from. So we got that. The under over, John and I did a little side bet last week, gentleman's bet on when we thought that the government would reopen. I got to tell you, if we thought about it, we would have realized that we were totally wrong about Monday, today, yesterday being the date, because we would have realized that even if they did it right then and there, you had to go through the step and the procedures to get it open. Both houses, at, you know, the Congress.
The way I see it, you nailed the date.
We nailed it. No, seriously, I was thinking the same thing. Were you seriously?
Yeah, nailed it.
Right after the election was over, the weekend came.
Everything, the whole thing was based. This was a scam. This whole
total scam.
And Schumer is behind the whole thing. They don't like him anymore for what reason. But that's going to be short lived because Schumer got those all the elections that went through during the shutdown all went to the Democrats. You have to, if Schumer was behind the scenes pulling the strings, it's because of him. You have to give him credit for that. He's not he's an old man, but he's not stupid. And then the latest thing is that all the Democrats that came over and voted yes, they were already told supposedly by Schumer to do it, and they're not up for re-election in 2026. So it doesn't matter. They can, and some of them are retiring, so they can take fall on the sword. The whole thing's a scam.
The funny thing is that the Democrats have said that they're going to do this as long as there's a guarantee that the Republicans will bring up the a vote and a discussion. Kind of weird. It's not that they're going to do it. It's they're going to discuss it and vote on it, you know, bring this up into the domain. That
you're talking about the Obamacare extension.
Yeah, the extension of the credits for the health care.
Right. The much-needed tax credits, because otherwise Obamacare is unaffordable and a jip.
But that is true. I told you what mine's going. I'm on the program because everybody in my office has their own plan, so I have my own, and it's going from $900 a month to $1,300 a month just for me.
Yeah, it's a jip.
Not my family.
You have a deductible that's way
$7,500 deductible.
Yeah, which you'll never get to.
And essentially, the program doesn't cover anything. And,
no.
And here's something even worse. I don't know if I talked to you about this. All the marketplace programs are state specific. Did you know that?
Yeah.
ER is another thing. If I have an accident or something like that in another state, of course I'm covered. But let's say that I wanted to go to, I don't know, pick your state, right? Wyoming. For whatever reason, the doctor that I need for my particular ailment is in Wyoming. That's fine, but I'll be paying for that.
Yeah.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
No, the whole thing is bad.
Where do they come up with a state-specific thing? It's not about.
I think the states came up with it. There was some,
so dumb.
It was
so dumb.
It was some. I think it was partly a way to soften the blow a little bit, so the states had to pick up some of the tab because this thing was basically designed to give free money to the insurance companies.
Yeah,
it's they should be regulated out of existence.
It's terrible. The whole thing's terrible. The whole program. And even if I was collecting throughout the year all my receipts, who collects all the receipts? The $100 doctor here or this?
Nobody.
Nobody does that. To get to my $7,500 or my maximum out of pocket, which is like, I don't know, I think it's $20,000 out of pocket. In a sense, if I have to do a surgery and go through the whole thing and in state, all this stuff, I'm going to have $12,000 a year. Plus 20,000, it's something like 30,000 for the year that I could be fully out of pocket. 30,000. Now, I understand. I get it. I get no benefit because of my salary, my pay. But someone who is in, let's say, a lower income threshold would get a substantial amount of benefit, right? And they would potentially have a lower deductible. So if you're in a very, very low income environment, you would get basically really good. You'd get good coverage. You'd have low deductible, and you're not going to be paying very much. But and so I appreciate that there is a plan that is that escalates the price for those people making more money. I understand that, and I can agree with that. It's just that the out of state thing bothers me. A lot.
Yeah, but that bothers me too, but I don't agree with what you say initially.
Why?
I think a doctor's going to cost X amount of money. It's like bananas. Do bananas, are they cheaper for somebody who has a lower income? Is the food that you buy at the grocery store cheaper with someone with lower income? Why should medical expenses be cheaper? It should be even, and it shouldn't be as expensive as it is. That's the real problem you're overlooking, which is the price of medical is way over the top. It's a complete scam. There's middlemen in the middle. The prices of drugs have gone 10x up so they can gouge the customers. That's the problem. It's not this graduated thing that you're extolling the virtues of.
The problem, though, is that the difference between bananas and health insurance is that if I don't have the money to buy a banana or caviar, for that matter.
No, bananas and health care.
Right. I get
not
it.
Not health insurance.
Health care. Okay. So, but don't you think that people that can't afford health care, if you can't afford bananas, you buy something else. If you need health care.
Health care is too expensive. That's the problem.
Oh, the backdrop. Forget what we're being charged by the government. All healthcare itself, the very nature of it, is too expensive. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll go with. That I totally agree.
When I was a kid.
Oh, boy.
We used to have doctors that did house calls. They would come to the house with a black bag, with a little doctor's bag, and they'd, you know.
And the stethoscope around the neck.
Yeah. They drive up in their Cadillac. They were doing quite well for themselves.
They also use rectal thermometers, but that's another story, right?
I'll stop.
But here's the thing: this is a financial show, right? But isn't the problem we have that everything has been turned into a business for money? That's why you can't get a good meal anywhere, because everything is a change of some sort, or the tomatoes have to be picked and put out even if they're not ripe at the grocery store.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, everything's about money.
When's the last time you had a ripe tomato from a grocery store?
It's not. Is there such a thing?
No.
You have to buy something that looks like. I will tell you, I was at a store And where was I at the store? It was called Netcost. It's a Russian-Ukrainian grocery store. Very nice. Lovely. A lot of smoked fish. You would love this place. It's got the herrings. It's got the smoked fish. It's got all this stuff, right? Crazy amount of food.
Russian stores are great.
Yeah. They had these like cherry tomato kind of things, right? But the mixed color ones, right?
Yeah.
In 89 cents. 89 cents. Publix? No. Back that up. Whole Foods, $3.89.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I say the same thing with out here we have a lot of Mercados, Mexican stores and supermercados, the big giant ones. You go in there and you can buy the exact same product in a bottle, like Tapatio, one of the hot sauces, and it would be, it's like $1.99 or even cheaper in a Mexican place, the exact same thing in the exact same bottle is like $4 at Whole Foods,
yeah.
if they have it.
Right. But that's what has happened. Everything has turned into a super business. Everybody wants to make more money, deservedly so. I'm not knocking anybody for making the money, but you get into a situation where it's knocked the mom and pops out because the mom and pops used to do it out of the love of what they did, and they made some money, they got by, whatever. Now it's like, no, that's not it. Everything has to be, you know, all about the almighty dollar, which I get, but that's what's happened. So we get what we deserve, I guess. Because you can go to all over Europe. You can go to Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, they have places called the soda shops, S-O-D-A. It's not soda as in pop. These are literally little cantinas that is family run. And you go in there, there may be a couple of people in there, maybe 10 people in there, maybe nobody. You sit down and mama's cooking. Literally, mama's cooking. The son coming around. Taking your order, sitting down with you, chatting with you. You got the finest meal, the best meal. I mean, wholesome and home cook style. I'm not talking about, you know, the French laundry style, right? I'm talking about, you know, good food. It's nothing. It costs nothing. Those days are gone. Sad.
I don't know if they are.
Yeah. You don't know if they're gone?
I don't know. I'm not absolutely convinced of it because I can still go to a Chinese grocer or a Mexican Mercado and I can still find reasonable prices for products that are overpriced elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you know where to go. Most people don't.
Yeah, well, you have to be a smart shopper. You have to have a clue if you're just going to go, you know, follow the crowd. Yeah, you're going to get ripped off.
Yeah, everybody's going to go to Whole Foods because they think that's good and they don't even have good produce. It's terrible.
No, I don't like the produce at Whole Foods either. They do have a good meat department.
Yes, I do like their meats. I agree with you there. And the fish to a degree.
The fish to a lesser degree.
Yeah. We got presidential pardons and a king's eviction we're going to talk about. And we're making money against the deficit, supposedly. The Dow Jones Industrial hitting an all-time high today. After big moves last week, we had like a 550-point day today for whatever reason. And big day yesterday.
Yes. Crazy.
Buyers stepping in again after people were freaked out last week about what happened. Today, there was a little bit of a nervousness in the pre-market. You can wake up at like, let's say, I don't know, 2 a.m. Eastern time, 5 a.m. Eastern time. Markets lately have been like, not doing so nice. Nothing terrible. But, you know, down 30, 40, 50 basis points, 0.5% for the NASDAQ today. By the end of the day, it's hardly down. And
yeah, the NASDAQ is getting beat up by the techs.
Well, we had today the big news about SoftBank, which we'll talk about also. But this whole lagging, the NASDAQ lagging is all about the question about whether or not this AI trade is sustainable. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, they're finally getting to the point where we've been for a month.
Yep, at least a month. We talk about vendor finance. Yeah, we could go back 2 months.
Probably longer than that, yep. Even.
Yeah. And I was you didn't comment on the picture I sent you. I think I sent you a picture of my apple picking that I did in Warwick, New York.
I did not see a picture. I didn't send anything back because I didn't get the picture or I overlooked it.
I sent it.
You sent it with your phone?
Yes, I sent it with my phone. I sent it to your text messaging.
Okay.
Yeah. Went apple picking. There was rows and rows and rows and rows of apple trees. And I was envisioning apple trees, I got to climb a ladder. But no, These are short little apple trees. Like,
yeah. That's a, one of those picking farms where the trees are. They make they prune them so they're kind of stunted and they're all at ground level.
And lots of apples between the Granny Smiths and the there was something called Sun Crisps, which is a cross between an apple crisp and Mac Crisp. Fuji's.
Nice, I've had those. They're nice.
Yeah, I was going, and then I had the apple spiked apple cider and donuts. It was delicious. What a great time. $40 for two bushels plus a third bushel that you donate to charity. What am I going to do with all these? We just went, I said, all right, I'll do it for $40.
You have to have one of those apple juicers, which are elaborate because you can't just juice an apple. There's a process. They have to be ground up and then pressed, expensive product. And my wife knows because I promised her one once. And that's all you can do with a bushel of apples. Or you can make a bunch of pies. You can sell them to a bakery.
I gave them away. I was at this wedding. So the final morning with brunch, everybody was there. I brought the bushel in there and said, take the damn apples. I can't, because I'm leaving.
That's enough apples for a month.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, some pardons going on. President Donald Trump has pardoned a long list of political allies for their support or involvement in plans to overturn the 2020 presidential election, according to the Department of Justice pardon attorney Ed Martin. About 20 people were pardoned, including Giuliani and what was her name?
Sydney Sweeney.
No, not Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney, whatever her name is, the lawyer.
Yeah,
the
lawyer.
Who's going to release the Kraken. I remember talking about that.
Yep, it was big fraud. Anyway, so that's going on there, the pardons. We're thinking that last week also we saw the pardoning of the Binance guy from cryptocurrency. I'm thinking next up, Sam Bankman-Fried. What do you think about that prediction?
I don't think he's going to do that.
No? Too fresh?
Yeah, it's probably too fresh, and he's probably let him sit in the can for a couple more years. He might let him out or pardon him when he leaves office or during that period, but I don't think he's going to do it.
What about the girlfriend?
Oh, she's probably, I think I would leave her in jail.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. But a lot of people were pardoned for that, and the pardon list keeps on going. But now, on the opposite side of pardoning is when you let people go because, you know, they did something maybe or didn't to some people. And in fact, some of the people that were pardoned by President Trump pled guilty. But okay. On the other side of the pond, King Charles III stripped his disgraced brother, Prince Andrew, of his remaining titles and evicted him from his royal residence after weeks of pressures to act over his relationship with sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
He didn't have the relationship with... He had the sexual relationship with Epstein. But anyway, he was caught, I guess, there was sort of the 17-year-old girl... And there was a book written, there was a payment payout,
yeah,
there was hush money.
Yeah, embarrassing to the royal family. Right. The royal family, of course, is a monarchy, which is still in play. And he was kicked from the lodge, it was called the Hunting Lodge, which is outside of Windsor Castle, which is a huge compound mansion. And he was exiled to another huge compound mansion someplace else. He still lives on the taxpayer's dime, as do all the royals.
No, but now he's going to... So here's the deal. This is a pretty rare move that's happening. It's to his brother, by the way. This is brother, right? He's going to remove his... He's no longer the prince. He's going to be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. He will not be a prince, and he'll have to vacate his Royal Lodge mansion near the Windsor Castle.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
He's going to have to get out of that one, too.
No, that's the one he's getting out of.
Yeah.
That's the one he's been living in.
Right, they're throwing him out of that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're throwing him out of that and moving him to another mansion elsewhere in the middle of nowhere, but it's not the huge, that so-called lodge, which there was a PBS special about, is a huge place. It's a massive, and it's hardly a lodge by our definition. It's a monstrous residence outside of Windsor Castle where the queen stays, or the king now. And they're moving him to some other fancy operation. It's still going to cost the taxpayers money. It's a scam.
With chefs, butlers,
yeah,
chauffeurs.
The staff of 20.
Yeah, instead of a staff of 40.
Exactly.
And you know what? They're not going to dress him. That's your punishment. You will not be dressed by the butlers. Yeah. You'll have to dress yourself and put your own cufflinks on, sir.
How do I put on pants? I just never could figure this out. Was it one leg at a time? Yeah. Is it the right leg? Do I do both legs at once? I don't know.
The U.S. government now, in terms of debt, is having a little bit of a problem, as we know. The gross domestic debt, or gross national debt, surpassed $38 trillion last week. A record number that highlights the accelerating accumulation of debt on our balance sheet. Now, at the same time, it's the fastest accumulation of $1 trillion in debt. So we went from, let's call it 37 to 38, right? We went to 37 for 38 faster than we did basically within the COVID pandemic crisis. We went from last August of 37 to now. So that's $1 trillion. Now, President Trump also being, it's all over the news that they're all excited that they reduced the deficit by $350 billion compared to the same period in 2024 by cutting spending and boosting revenue. So this was talked about by the White House spokesperson, Kush Desai. Also, there were some other people from the Economic Council talking about this today, and you know, they're all excited about this because you know we cut down this thing, you know, and we saved all this money. The Peterson Foundation said, along with increasing debt, you get higher interest costs, which now is the fastest growing part of the budget. We spent $4 trillion on interest over the past decade, but we'll spend $14 trillion in the next 10 years. So we spent $4 trillion in the last 10 years. We're going to spend $14 trillion in the next 10 years. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, for debt service.
Tremendous. And I don't think our debt is going down. Don't forget, we're going to raise the debt ceiling to pretty much unlimited.
No, it's not going down. They have done nothing to make it go down. Every time they do anything, they try to make it go down, everyone makes a fuss about it.
They're all cheering that they reduce the deficit.
Yeah, well, it's at least it's something.
But as we are now with the quantitative tightening ceasing, this debt is going to continue to grow now. We were actually in a process of decreasing debt by having the quantitative tightening program where when the bond would mature, we'd let it roll off. But as of the last meeting with the Fed, they said that's no longer going to happen, and we're going to go back to basically buying the bond or replacing the bond when it rolls off, when it matures. So that means that the debt's going to continue to increase now again, even more. The reason why it increased before was because they put more debt on, right? They put more stimulus out. So the last one big beautiful bill was, in fact, as we know, stimulative, and there was a lot of spending that went on. So that added to the debt. At the same time, they cut the deficit, so that should have reduced it a little bit, but again, the net-net was a lot higher. And the Fed, by not buying the bonds, actually reduced it also, so net-net, it should have been higher. So again, they spent even more money than we're seeing here. A lot of money. The debt is growing by $69,000 per second in the past year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I'd say.
The debt clock couldn't even keep track of that. Remember the debt clock in New York City?
Yeah, it's just spinning.
It's just numbers that are just
springs
a blur.
Are coming out of it.
And it's starting to smoke a little bit, right? It's starting to steam up and smoke. Yep. So here's some big stock news. Something that definitely moves markets right now. SoftBank. Myoshi-san, Japan's big, was it Myoshi-san? No, what was it?
Yeah, I can't pronounce his name either half the time.
SoftBank has sold its entire stake in NVIDIA, $5.83 billion worth of NVIDIA. So that was something that shook the markets temporarily just for a moment. And as a matter of fact, SoftBank is down 10%. After hours tonight in Japan as it's trading. because of this news. Meanwhile, they did a lot to, I would say, soften the blow. Why are they selling NVIDIA? Because do they know something? Should we all sell NVIDIA? No. They said it's because they're using the funds to redeploy further into AI, specifically into OpenAI. They also sold part of T-Mobile, and they're using margin loans against the ARM, their ARM holdings, to fund a $22.5 billion investment in OpenAI. And they said, and I quote, "This should not be seen in our view as a cautious or negative stance on NVIDIA, but rather in the context of SoftBank needing at least $30 billion of capital for investments in the October to December quarter, including that $22.5 billion for OpenAI." So they're saying that, you know, okay, this is not their view of NVIDIA. At the end of the day, we're using money to invest in other AI companies. It has nothing to do with NVIDIA. We just need the money. Like, they didn't
What is this relationship? What did they say about ARM again? How does that work?
So they own a big piece of ARM. They're doing a margin.
Yeah, I know they do. They're big holders of ARM.
They're doing a big margin loan against it.
They're doing a margin call against. They're selling it.
They're borrowing money against their ARM holding.
They're borrowing money against it. What does that mean specifically?
They're probably pledging their ARM hold, the ARM holding. Let's say they have a $20 billion holding of ARM, right? I'm just saying. They're going to say, you know what? We're going to pledge a $5 billion, loan me money, and our guarantee, the collateral, is the same amount of the ARM holding that we have. So give me $5 billion.
So using ARM as a collateral for more AI investment.
Correct.
Open AI investment.
Right. Which is leveraging up their portfolio, because if something happens to ARM or any of the portfolio, it's going to be much more difficult.
Get out of trouble.
Yep. So the whole point of this exercise was to see them doing these verbal gymnastics to try to convince everybody that it wasn't an issue with NVIDIA at all. But again, I don't know why they couldn't have sold other things or raise money for that matter. They have plenty of money, these guys.
Yeah, no, the guy's a genius. He's a master of creative bookkeeping.
Yeah, and he's done these kind of things before.
Where he does all kinds of crazy things, and some of them don't make a lot of sense. And until that years later, when you realize that he was actually doing something else, it's like a magician, that guy.
Well, one of the things he also does is he can make the market. He can actually push on something enough.
Yeah, he's like Musk that way.
Right, he's pushing on these positions enough where he is buying into a privately held company and raising the price to an absurd level. But it's in one of the final levels of the accumulation phase of it, where he's got a huge block of the stock at a much lower price. So pushing more money in just raises the price, which raises his whole value. So you may say, well, why would anybody buy in it? You know, that kind of valuation. Because it's just that little bit that he's putting in is pushing everything up.
Right. It takes his old investment and doubles it.
Right. You see? So these are the kind of things that go on with this. And then eventually they break. He's broken a few different times, gotten himself into trouble. But he will push and push.
Yeah, he hasn't screwed up massively. He's very good.
Very good. CoreWeave came out with
the NVIDIA thing. There's something more to it than that, and the reason I'm asking about ARM is because I suspect, and this is only a suspicion, I have no clue about this, but I kind of understand the way this business works, is that NVIDIA might be, or ARM might be, on the verge of cloning some aspect of NVIDIA with their type of chip. Their chips are kind of, it's an architecture that you program. It's like a software hardware combination. You kind of design, ARM gives you the tools, you design a chip using their basic underlying architecture. And it's possible that they have some AI angle to push into the ARM architecture that could be competitive with NVIDIA to such an extreme that they would dump the NVIDIA stock knowing that this is coming, because they were big holders. They know exactly what's going on at ARM.
And it would only benefit them to say the things they've said in order to keep the whole market up.
Yeah.
They don't want to spook everything.
Especially, so I'm suspicious. That's the reason I kept asking about it.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't see this. That's out of the question. It is a little weird that they dumped all their position.
Yeah, you think they'd ease out of it.
Yeah. So that was done. CoreWeave, this is a provider of infrastructure for artificial intelligence companies, right? They reported better. They IPO'd this year. I believe it was this year. They reported better than expected third quarter revenue on Monday, but the company delivered disappointing full year guidance. The company reported a loss of $110 million, narrowing from about $360 million in the same quarter last year. Problem was that one of their data centers, basically they're not up and running at their potential. And everybody's like, wait a second. You know, once again, these little things, we're buying this stock at these unbelievable valuations because need to be perfect. You told us this is what's going to happen. We'll buy in. We'll pay for it. But then it doesn't? Kapoop. Stock dropped 15%. Stock was up at $185 in June. Now it's $88. So that's painful. That's more than half down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because 185, 90, yeah, so 185, 90 something. Yep.
Oh, it's close.
Yep. MasterCard and Visa, they announced a revised $38 billion settlement. Can you imagine the companies that are settling at $38 billion and the stocks don't move and everybody's like, okay, that's good. Like, how bad is it? How bad did they really rip us off here? If I can pay $38 billion. So merchants accuse the card network of charging too much to accept their credit cards. What is it now? Did we talk about this? How everybody is charging you a higher price for credit cards now? Wasn't that illegal for a long time? That'd be the same as cash. Remember that whole thing?
Vaguely.
I'm getting 3.5% all over the place for credit cards. I find it terrible. But Monday settlement would end a 20-year of litigation. 20 years of litigation with these businesses that accuse Visa, MasterCard, and banks of conspiring to violate U.S. antitrust laws. These are the swipe fees. So the settlement calls for Visa and MasterCard to lower swipe fees, which averaged 2.35% in 2024. Typically range anywhere from 2 to 2.5% by 0.1 percentage points for 5 years. 0.1. Now, the Retail Merchants Association, not very happy about this. Merchants will also be getting more options to impose surcharges when people pay by card, including an unfettered ability to charge up to 3%. So they're going to get the green light. Because it was frowned upon and a problem before.
Yeah, it was not only frowned upon, but some credit card companies, if they found out you were doing it, they take your rights away.
Yeah. Now, I did a lookup. See, we're all concerned about 0.1% swipe fees, right? But we're not concerned about the high price that you have to pay if you run up your credit card. So I went out there. No, you get, what, 20, 25% credit cards are charging for balances?
I don't know. To be honest about it, myself and my wife, we do have a couple of credit cards, but we never use them. Just for personal reasons and for budgeting purposes. We just don't use them. We use either cash or debit.
So credit cards these days charge anywhere from like 20 to 30-something percent.
It's outrageous.
The highest variable rate advertised for a specific card is 36% for the First Premier Bank MasterCard credit card. 36%.
Yeah, you might as well be in the mafia.
And I'm sure if you don't pay, they will send somebody to break your legs. This is terrible.
It should be illegal. It used to be.
So it's usury. I don't understand how we're all up in arms about these swipe fees, but yet we allow, I mean, why do we allow, I don't understand something. President Trump is always breaking the back of all these companies that are screwing everybody. Why does he go after these guys?
You tell me.
I mean, it's criminal. It really is criminal. I don't know. I don't know. Here's the head scratcher that we've talked about before. OpenAI, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, said last week that the artificial intelligence startup is on track to generate more than $20 billion in annualized revenue run rate this year, which plans, of course, to grow it by hundreds of billions in sales by 2030.
Yeah.
Okay. The company has pledged more than $1.4 trillion of infrastructure deals in recent months and, you know, trying to build out the data centers and, you know, they say they need to meet the growing demand, right? So here's my question. If it's next to impossible for companies, generally speaking, with long track records, stable businesses, and they have a known clientele, right, of business, what's happening, it's kind of like they can, like Walmart, they know what's going on, right? They know, generally speaking, what the numbers are and all. They have some ability to do this kind of financial.
Yeah, granular look at the books.
Yeah. How can a recent startup with a new technology that is unknown project out 5 years?
You just do it.
You
put some numbers in a cell on the spreadsheet and push a button, and there you go. You got your 5-year number.
It's pretty much the deal, right?
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And you show it on it. If you put it on a PowerPoint, then if you take that, what you just did, and put it on a PowerPoint, that means it's real.
With charts, colors, graphs.
Yeah, with colors. And then people see that and they say, oh, that must be true.
You need a trend line in there, you need bar charts.
It's like internet information. It's always true.
Yeah, and you put the bar charts vertical and horizontal. That really does it. And do the 100% charts, stacking.
Yeah, it's always a good bit.
Yep. Tesla, the vote is in. Elon is getting his pay package. Like $890 billion potentially, right?
Yeah.
He is now again the richest person in the world.
Well, this pay package, he didn't get a check.
No, he's got the pay package if he meets certain criteria in the future.
Yeah, which he'll never meet.
Well, that's what they said last time.
Well, it is possible. I could be wrong. And I hope he does meet it. The guy's a character. He needs all the money he can get.
He's got $500 billion of net worth right now.
I know. It's unbelievable. I remember somebody once telling me, it was the late David Bunnell, used to be the publisher of PC World magazine. He said, and this was probably around mid-80s, he says that he believed that Bill Gates was going to be the world's first trillionaire.
Ah.
And Gates crapped out. He kind of pooped out. You know, he just didn't get that far. But this guy, he could do it.
He could do it.
And nobody. And at the time that prediction was made by Bunnell, nobody even knew who Musk was.
Let me ask you this question. In terms of significance to the planet Earth, I'm not talking about the health of the Earth, and I'm not talking about the ecology. In terms of the world, Elon Musk or Bill Gates?
Oh, I think Elon Musk by far.
So electric cars, satellites, space.
The crazy internet they have, the technology they're using there, his space materials that he's doing, the cars for sure. Not so much the solar stuff, but he gave it a shot.
But a lot of this stuff would not be able to be done without basic internet / Windows OS to begin with. That was only, 25 years ago, right?
I'm not even convinced of that.
What would we run? Maybe just run an analytics box or something would come up?
No, Unix would have done the trick. Linux would have done the trick. I mean, Linux came out of, basically, Linux was only created because Windows was so dominant. No, it could have been done using other platforms. I know what you're trying to do. They're trying to associate Gates as successes as a stepping stone for Musk. I don't see it.
All right. I'm not saying I'm not trying to present that. I was just asking.
No, you were hoping to get,
I was hoping.
It was directed.
Oh.
I know your tricks.
You know my tricks? How do you know? We've only been together how many years? The economy, we got the K-shape going on. We got the K-shape.
Yeah, the K.
The K-shape, also bifurcation. $2 word there, bifurcation. What's happening right now is that U.S. So if you were to see the U.S. consumer sentiment that came out last week, really kind of interesting. 3.5-year low in early November has households across the political spectrum worried about the economic fallout from the longest government shutdown in history, which has caused disruptions ranging from food benefit payments, right, to grounded flights, which, by the way, I had a flight today out of New York at 10:50. We decided to change it to the 7:50. Of course, doing so immediately triggered the, hey, screw Horowitz. And they canceled the 7:50, bumped me back to the 10:50, and I lost my seats.
Yeah. Well, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. So, and it was snowing in New York this morning.
It was snowing?
I walked out of my hotel and it was snowing.
Holy mackerel.
Man, nice snow too. Matter of fact, we had to wait to get de-iced.
The first snow, if it's going to snow in New York, the first snow is always pretty nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. I thought it was very nice. Nice and clean. The current level of consumer confidence, though, now is closing in on the worst in 20 years. But what's interesting is you can look at different areas. Clearly, the higher socioeconomic and particularly economic were happy. The lower strata of economic salaries, wages, etc., not having stocks in the stock market, miserable. Republicans scored a 91 in terms of confidence. Democrats, 33. This happens.
Yeah.
We see this.
That's your bifurcation. That's your K.
Right. So here's something also interesting. And put this into the calculation of what is going on. 20% of the top households, the top 20% by income, drive 40% of consumer spending. So if they're happy, it's fine. It's not half, but it's plenty. Even if the lower 80% drop off a bit. So it is interesting, the bifurcation, the K economy. It's people who have money in the stock market are happy with. Of course, you make an all-time high, people are happy. They have money. Same thing, you know, if you were to increase your salary. But unfortunately, what's happening is layoffs are happening. In fact, when you look at the job cuts for October, they totaled 153,000 or so, 183% surge from September and 175% higher than the same month a year ago. It was the highest level for any October since 2003 and has been the worst year of layoffs since 2009. This is from Challenger, Gray & Christmas. I just always like saying the name of that company. It seems very festive. Challenger reports the highest level of layoffs coming from the technology sector amid a time of restructuring due to AI integration. We talked about that AI washing last week.
Yeah, AI washing is nonsense. Yep. Yeah.
Companies in that sector announced more than 33,000 cuts, nearly six times the level in September. And total companies have announced 1.1 million cuts this year, which is a 65% increase from a year ago and the highest level since the COVID pandemic year of 2020.
None of this is good news.
No. Well, that's why we just go right into the next point here is Stephen Miron, who is the appointee by Trump to fill the position of one of the Fed officials that resigned. And he's in there and he's like, you know, before, oh, got to drop rates. It's big rate cuts. We should be down at zero or whatever he says. You know, he's like really ridiculous.
Right, he's one of those guys.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, zero.
Right. He says a half a point cut is appropriate for December.
Yeah, that's the big push.
But the Fed should cut at least by a quarter point.
Well, they will. A quarter point for sure. Could they be cajoled or forced into going to a half point is the question. Because that would help a lot.
We just reduced by 25-25. Didn't we just do 50 basis points in total? Maybe it will help. But inflation's not well, now that we have a different set of information here, and that information is that we had
you have to take this into account. Once the government workers go back into their jobs on Friday or next Monday, and you get those labor statistic guys are finally back to work, we're going to have a slew of numbers coming out, which may spell gloom and doom. Might be seeing the market top.
Well, and also he's talking about a GDP that was 3.8%. We're talking about possibly a 1 to 1.5% cut in GDP.
Yeah, because of the shutdown.
The shutdown. So you wonder if they're trying to do that, and if somebody is saying, on the other side, let's do this so we can get a cut in there. That's possible. You like the conspiracy stuff, so I'm just saying.
It is possible. It's a funny idea.
Well, let's keep it down. Let's keep it shut. So if